I'm with Joe Anderson, the mayor of Liverpool, and we're going to talk all things car park. Joe, it's a disaster, isn't it, when you think of the money you were making. I've said it before, the income that's being brought into the city is so important because of this government.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, there's the way, you know, from my point of view as mayor, I'm looking at it is the clear inconvenience and the heartache and the heartbreak that it's caused people who had the cars caught up in the fire itself. A lot of them have been not only inconvenienced, but a lot of them are actually losing money as a result of that. And I'm so frustrated and angry at the way some insurance companies are treating people. And, you know, we are trying our best. You know, it's only a month ago since it happened. And, you know, we're learning. People think that we know everybody that was in there and we would have all their details. Of course, we haven't, because all the car does is go in there. We have no way of knowing what car, who owns it. So that's why we've now got, you know, a lot of contacts through our website at the council. So we're keeping in regular dialogue and communication. There was a meeting a few days ago where some of my officers attended and took some feedback and some questions. We're also going to meet them again in about 10 days, the people who lost or you know, the cars and belongings. Because some of these people are being punished, and people don't realise this, but, you know, they're losing the no-claims bonus, some of them. Some of them have got, you know, items that they left in the car that the home insurance doesn't cover or the car insurance doesn't cover. And so, you know, there's a lot of heartache and a lot of heartbreak for people. And so we're trying to do as much as we can. I'm in constant contact with the Association of the British Insurers and talking to them. And I had a conversation with them a couple of days ago. And there's some decent companies that are actually not going to be charging extra premiums for people who've claimed. So that's good news. There's a number of them. But there are still some mavericks out there that are trying to exploit the situation by making people pay, you know, a no-claims bonus or claiming, you know, extra premiums because people have claimed for the car. And you know, it's really frustrating. But, yeah, from our point of view as well, you know, we've got to wait now for our insurance to be settled. So we've got to try and, you know, we've already spent around about £500,000 in terms of resurfacing some of the parts around the arena where people can park, so the hotels, the restaurants, the arena itself can operate. So, you know, we're looking at doing more. We've paused the work that we were going to do on the King's Dock so we can establish and decide what number of car park size we're going to build as a replacement. But we've also got to wait, of course, until we get our insurance sorted.
So you can't make a move until, and you won't make a move until you've got the insurance money.
Well, in some senses, it's that's correct. But we are, you know, as I said, we've set up the temporary car park because you're right, it brings in a lot of revenue for the city, especially in cash-strapped times. We need every pound coming in. So, you know, we are doing that. And so we're restricted in a little sense, but we can actually start planning around, you know, because we were going to be building, in addition to that car park before the fire, another car park on the site to support the additional things that we were putting in. Like we were talking about new leisure facilities, potentially an ice ring, certainly more hotel and apartments and some retail that were going into that site. So we're having to pause all of that now because of the fire and look at it and decide where we're going to build the new car park and where we're going to put it, and how we actually do things in a way that takes into account the fire, and that's going to have to be decommissioned and brought down. So that's where we are. It's very frustrating, as I said, for us. But, you know, as an organisation, we can absorb that. And I think that's, you know, something that even though it's a concern, it's not, you know, a major concern. My concern is about the people that are caught up in it and about the fact that they haven't been able to settle their insurance. Some of them have, about 96%. But a lot of people have been, you know, financially punished. And, you know, I'm calling on the Association of British Insurers to actually encourage their members to do the moral and honest and decent thing and support people who actually, through no fault of their own, were caught up in this. There was, you know, nobody to blame here. And I think at the end of the day, I would hope that insurance companies take that into account.
What's your view now? You built the car park correctly without sprinklers because it's not necessarily to have them. What's your views now for a new car park?
Well, I've written to the minister concerned after Grenfell. Obviously, you know, it's clearly an inquiry going on into Grenfell and what happened and stuff, whatever. And we're asking them to consider the likes of this. Now, of course, look, car park's completely different than a residential tower or block. We know that. But it is around, a fire that's caused an enormous amount of damage and loss to people, that we're asking them to look at the car parks. Because, look, there's conflicting views. You know, we have our own fire chief who said that he believed if the sprinklers were in there, that it could have actually suppressed the fire. It wouldn't have put it out, but it would have suppressed it and allowed more time. My argument to that is if we hadn't had the fire cuts, we'd have had more appliances there and the fire would have been put out quicker. But that's not having a go at the fire chief, because I think he's a great guy and does a wonderful job here. But I've asked the government to look at this in the parameters of the inquiries into Grenfell, because what I'm saying is, you know, the conflict around car park fires and whether you should have sprinklers in car parks is conflicting from people in the industry, fire industry, if you like, and experts in the fire field who say that, you know, what a car park fire does if you have sprinklers is allow the water to actually transport the fuel and diesel and oil and stuff and ship the fire. Because don't forget, you know, oil will burn on top of water and it can be carried in the water and spreads the fire. So there's different views and opinions. So that's why I'm passing it to the government to say, please review this and have a look at it. Because there are thousands of car parks like this. You know, there's plenty in Liverpool, but in Manchester and Leeds, Birmingham, right across the country, London, thousands of open car parks like this. And the requirements as it currently stands means that you don't need sprinklers, and you only need sprinklers, and it's different types of sprinklers if there's an underground car park. So, you know, they will need foam or powder type sprinklers in the underground car parks, but the open air car parks, there's no requirement. So that's why it's important that we have a look at that, because obviously, you know, as I said, thankfully nobody was hurt. It's only just been revealed that a couple of animals, a couple of dogs were killed in the fire, you know, as I said, gladly no human life was lost, and that's because people park the cars and then go and do the shopping. They don't sleep or stay in the cars, so we've got to recognise that fact as well. You know, I heard somebody saying that nobody stopped or they didn't see anybody who could stop them running into the building when it was on fire. Well, you know, my advice is you don't run into the building when it's on fire. But we had seven staff on, and they were there. They were you know, doing a valiant job in terms of making sure that for instance, the CCTV, you know, the footage, the DVD footage was retrieved. And since then, you know, we've provided drone footage to people. We've sent drones in there to have a look at the so people can get the cars, you know, identified, if you like, and passed to their insurance. And we're doing as much as we can. It's obviously unprecedented, I think, this type of fire. And as I said, our officers are dealing with it with ourselves as best we can.
Are the cars in there not damaged?
Well, yeah, it looks like there's some. And I mean, you know, there's some pictures that we've give out from the drone footage and the DVD that we've managed to retrieve, that actually shows that there's some cars that look undamaged. But the reality is that, you know, if you look at them from a different angle, you see that fuel has dripped through and burnt through and gone inside the car. So it looks all right at the front end, but the middle's completely burnt out. But there does look like some cars from, you know, from where you're standing, if you like, or looking in, that are undamaged. However, the floor is caving in certain parts, so we can't allow, and the structural engineers won't allow anybody to go in. And so, you know, we might be able to save some of the cars as we decommission, as we dismantle the car park. But again, you know, all I would urge people is to, you know, sort things out with the insurance companies, because the property of the cars become the property of the insurers once they've settled. So, you know, there's a whole legal minefield there. And as I said, it's going to, you know, the complexity of this is going to take some time.
You told people to claim off their own insurance because one of the cars, the car was the problem, was £5 million worth, or can you explain that?
There was an argument about insurance companies, who they should claim off, and you know that there's we don't know, other than you know what we're getting told by the Merseyside Fire and Rescue Service, that a car on the third floor can be seen igniting and going up in flames, and it's clearly that spread the fire. What caused the fire, it we don't really know, and it's whether other insurance companies or people's insurance companies can claim against that insurance company. You know, that's a legal matter, that's an insurance matter, and we're not experts in that field. So, you know, we've made no comments about that, and we would just simply say, you know, seek advice from your own insurance company as to what steps people have to take, or whether the insurance companies themselves, as we have seen with some of the good ones, who've actually just said, look, here's your payout, it's settled, and we'll take up the rest of it, and don't you worry about it, crack on. And some insurance companies haven't charged extra premiums or took away the no-claims discounts that people are getting. And that's what we want to see. We want to see that happening. Because, as I said, the people who were in that car park, it wasn't their fault.
I tell you what, it'd be lovely at the end of all this to name and shame the ones that are bad.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I've said. You know, if people want to provide me with the information, about their insurance company, if they haven't behaved in a responsible or fair way, that I'm more than happy to name them on radio and say, you know, my advice is don't go to that insurance company, go to this one that did this. More than happy. And I think that's, you know, that's my message to the insurance companies. The people who were caught up in that didn't cause it. You know, we didn't cause it as the city council. You know, the bottom line is, as people drive in, there's a big sign saying you're parking at your own risk or whatever, but then you've got insurance, and we expect people to have the right insurance and stuff. But, you know, it's unfortunate that there'll be, if you like, you know, excess on their insurance that people have to pay, and then they'll lose the no claims. I don't think people should. I think that's down to the insurance companies themselves to do that. It's certainly, you know, not down to the council to do that, because we're not insured to do that.
Will you get anything for loss of revenue, the city council?
Yeah, we've got insurance. We've got, you know, two lots of insurance. One is the structural side, and then there's an insurance against loss of business as well. So we hope we will be able to cover. But, you know, as I said, you know, the fact that we're having to do temporary car parks and stuff, what have you, there'll be no recovery of that for us. So, you know, that's something that, you know, I said, we've already spent £500,000 so far in doing that. So, and again, that's not going to be fixed for the long term. So we'll have to be ripped up again or built on. So that's money that we will have lost.
Has the decision been made to pull it down yet?
No, because we've got to wait for a final report from the structural engineers, and then the insurance company are going to have to decide when they see that report, because don't forget, it's their decision. They're going to have to tell us, well, we don't think it's viable for you to pull this down or to refurbish it, so therefore it's cheaper to pull it down and build a new one. So we've got to wait for their decision on that, but they have now got the final engineers report, and I think they're looking at it. Hopefully, we've been told by the end of February that they will have made their decision. We're trying to spur them on to make that decision as quick as we, you know, can possibly, because it's going to take around about 14-15 months to build a new one.
Recently, and I won't take much more of your time, recently somebody has said publicly that it should be covered, because when you go into a building that's insured, it should be covered for goods and contents.
Well, I think, you know, the bottom line is our car park, as I said, is, you know, covered in an insurance point of view for the building. I don't think we can have it covered for the contents of cars. I don't think any car park in the country it covers itself for the contents in terms of the number of cars or the cars in there. So we're not alone in that. And there's no legal requirements or responsibility for us to do that. Usually, of course, you know, I mean, there's been no fires in car parks in this city ever, I think. So, you know, and the idea that we would be paying, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of pounds extra insurance to you know, look, my insurance would cover me in that, you know, yeah. And I have a protection on my bonus, so I don't lose that. And if that's, you know, what everyone's got, then they should be all right. Yes, there may well be, you know, the value of the car, what they paid is less than what it was actually worth because of depreciation. I know that, but, you know, look, if someone's car is torched on the streets of Birmingham or Leeds or Liverpool, or there's an act of God that happens with regards to the car or whatever, then, you know, people can't claim. It's the same scenario. It's just that it's happened inside a building that we own. But if it happened on the streets we own or whatever, we can't be held responsible for somebody torching a car. In the same way, I don't yet know how this fire started and whether that was due to negligence, whether it was due to mechanical faults or whatever. We haven't got that information yet. So, you know, I don't think people in the city would give me great credit for spending millions of pounds or whatever, paying out people without culpability being proven that it's our fault. And so, you know, unfortunately, we are where we are, and we'll try and help people as much as we can. And we'll, you know, demand of the insurance companies better treatment for people. And I think that's about as much as we can.
Have you got a good relationship with the fire service, or are you waiting and waiting and waiting to find out what's happened?
No, I think the fire service have given us, you know, a preliminary report. I'm not too sure we've had the full report yet. But yeah, look, the fantastic, the fire service, and you know, Dan Stevens, the chief fire officer, is tremendous. He was there on the site as I was that night. I went down and stuff, and you know, they've done a great job. And without them, you know, what really worries me, and I mentioned it at the council meeting when Dan Stevens actually addressed the council. You know, 4 years ago, we'd have had 8 fire engines turned up to this, and there was only 2. And we then relied on fire engines coming from Greater Manchester and Lancashire. Now, you know, if there'd have been a fire over in Wirral or in West Derby or in Fazakerley or in other parts of the city, and if we'd have had, say, for instance, 3 major fires or whatever, one over in the Wirral, one of the hospitals gone on fire or whatever, just imagine what it doesn't really bear thinking about. And the fact of the matter is that fire service cuts that are putting buildings like this and people at risk. And I'm sorry, but that's not being, you know, over the top. That's actually being truthful. And it's not my view, it's fire officers' views, fire, you know, serving fire members' views as well.
That's because of the government.
Absolutely. They've lost 300 fire officers' jobs and then also, you know, ancillary staff. And as I said, you know, all the fire engines that are local to that one, you know, whether it's the one in Everton, you know, whether it's the one in Granby, they would have turned up. Instead of having one fire appliance, one engine at their site, you know, they would have had 2 4 years ago. And instead of 2 just turning up at the outset, we probably would have had 5, 6, 7, 8 turned up immediately. And I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, that we probably would have had a different result and that fire could have been contained quite quickly.
I can't believe they came from Manchester. What the hell is the fire left at the end of Manchester? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, that's the problem. And as I said, if something else would have happened in Manchester or on Merseyside, or if there had been a number of serious, serious fires, you know, it doesn't bear thinking about what could have happened.
Joe, to finish off, your message to everybody out there who's got problems with their cars.
Well, we're going to try and help as much as we can, and we're going to continue to do as much as we can to support and help you. And, you know, please contact us on our website. You know, we're putting out frequently asked questions. But my message to the insurance companies as well is, you know, look, these people didn't cause this. These people shouldn't be punished, and so help people where you can. You're an industry that depends on reputation. Don't damage your reputation by continuing to do what you can. Follow what the good practice of your partners have done, the ones that are settled and helping and not putting up premiums, and everybody should do the same. Every insurance company should do the same.
It's a little bit of a walk, but we've got a new car park you've built.
Yeah, and the one there in Victoria Street is a new car park. Again, that's bringing in revenue for the city. But we're working with some people who own land around the waterfront to have temporary car park. And as I said, we're also putting temporary ones in there. So hopefully, you know, the likes of the arena and the convention centre can operate as normal.
Mayor Joe Anderson, thank you.
You're welcome, Peter.